right, we want to continue in our studies in 1 Peter. We usually refer to these as expository messages. There's so much in this epistle that Peter is writing to a dispersed bunch of Christians scattered abroad in the country that is now Turkey, and how that they were undergoing some very difficult circumstances in life, some even being persecuted. And there was much opposition from the world. And so Peter is writing under the direction of the Holy Spirit to enlighten them and to encourage them as to how they may continue under these circumstances to grow spiritually and to glorify the Lord. And he makes reference to a lot of relationships. And that's the way it is for the life of all believers. There are a variety of relationships. Now, what is our response to the various relationships? Now, it is extremely important. Now, the Lord has so designed that man may glorify him, and he has designed an order in his creation, that if man would follow and obey, it would accomplish God's purpose. Why did he create man and put man on this universe? Well, should we not consider the fact that he has a purpose in our lives, a purpose for us? Are we just here to merely exist? Well, we don't really live just into ourselves. He hasn't created man for just that kind of existence. So, in this epistle, Peter speaks of a number of various relationships and gives us instruction as to how we may respond. Peter has been stressing so far in this epistle the subject of submissions to, he wants Christians to be subject to and submitting to various ones and forms of life. For example, to these people who were undergoing difficult situations in a foreign country, he's saying, be in submission to the government. Even though the government was not friendly toward the believers, in fact, many believers were imprisoned. And think about it, up to this time, the Apostle Peter was nearing his death as a martyr. And what about the other apostles? I suppose that by this time, many of them had already been executed and martyred. So in chapter 2, Peter urges these believers to be submissive to the governmental authorities and for slaves to be submissive to their masters, or workers being in subjection to their employers. And so, in so doing, he has also given some information for us today. See, he's under the direction of the Holy Spirit in writing. These same principles may apply to us today, all mankind. And so Peter also uses the Lord Jesus as an example of one who is submissive to his Father. So he points out here in the latter part of this of chapter 2 how that the Lord Jesus was in submission to his Father, even though he was receiving much opposition from the world, and to the point where that they crucified him. So, you see, in spite of all these difficulties, the Lord Jesus did not turn aside from carrying out the Father's will. Now, some would say, why would God allow his perfect Son to endure all of this suffering? Was he being kind to his Son? Well, he sent his Son into the world to save sinners. He knew what he would face. God the Father and God the Son had this purpose in mind, and the Lord Jesus said, I do always those things that are pleasing unto the Father. So indeed, the Lord Jesus was in submission to his Father. Now, of course, man by nature is really lawless and rebellious unto authority. The history of mankind brings that out very clearly, doesn't it? Man doesn't like to be controlled. He doesn't like to be in submission to anyone else. So Peter is writing to instruct these believers concerning the areas where they are obligated to be in submission and subjection. And we've already seen that in chapter 2. Now, as we continue chapter 3, we'll see he has the same thing in mind. Now, let's read, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 3. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on a fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, Peter is dealing with a very important area of life for mankind. He's talking about husband and wife relationship here. And remember that this, again, is God's design. It is God who designed the marriage relationship. Now, for it to be pleasing to Him, it must be in obedience to His Word. Now, Peter starts out here in this section by saying, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Now, wives, likewise, what's he referring to? What has he just been talking about here? Well, he was just writing about the Lord Jesus being in submission to his Father, that is committed to obey his Father in all things. And so Peter is then pointing to the wives and saying, well, look back at the Lord Jesus. Likewise, like the Lord Jesus was in submission to authority, he's saying, wives, you be in submission to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. So why? Does he say wives be in subjection to the husbands and so on? Well, again, this is God's order of creation. Now, to question that would be questioning God in His wisdom and in His authority. So, in Titus, for example, in Titus chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes concerning a very important matter here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching. No, that's not Titus. I want to turn back to Timothy. That's not the portion I want. Oh, yeah, that's 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says, let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. Now we see here the instructions given concerning God's authority and His reason for the order that He's designed. Now, who did He create first? He created Adam first. He created the man. But He said He saw that it was not good that man should be alone. Man was missing something, wasn't he? And therefore, God took one, remember, He put Adam asleep and took one of his ribs and made Eve, made him a wife. She was a part of him. Well, I don't know if we ever told you this or not, but one of our daughters, Becky lives in Louisville, had two little boys. And one was about 6 years old, I think. This was happened just a couple of years ago. When his cousin, Bethany, was just a little thing, when the families would get together, little John Michael just almost worshiped little Bethany, called her little sister. Oh, Lord. And so, he kept asking his mother, Mom, why don't you get me a baby sister? And then when they would have their family devotions in the evening, and they were praying, he would always pray that God would give him a baby sister. And he was constantly asking, Mama, please get me a baby sister. Well, then, one time, he came, when that hadn't happened, he came to his mom and said, Mama, do you suppose that God could take one of my ribs and make me a baby sister? So that's where he gets this idea here. Picture here. Well, but here we see that Adam and Eve were of one body, that is, in a sense, of one flesh, that is. God had designed them both. And so, since Adam was first formed, authority was given him as the head of the household. Now that was not just an easy thing, but remember, he did have that authority. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, we see God's order for the household. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. What a picture here. Now, the relationship that he gives us here is a very precious one. We see this close relationship of the husband and the wife, and we see the responsibility of both. The husband is to be the head of the household, and the wife is to be in subjection unto him. And both are to carry out the will of God. So, as Peter is writing to these believers here, he's encouraging them, and he's showing some of the reasons for this submission. One of the reasons for being in subjection to the husband here is that in case the husband is unsaved, the Christian wife may lead him to the Lord. Notice he says, even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. So now in the case here in this land where these people were living, no doubt that many of these wives were believers. They had already trusted the Lord. But their husbands were not yet believers. Now, as someone pointed out, in many areas, it seems like that the women are quicker in submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior than some of the men. Now, this was true in some cases in the Philippines. A lot of the women would come and hear the gospel. Some of the men would be just a little bit reluctant, standing by. So, that was the way it was here to these to whom Peter was writing. And so Peter is saying that if you will be in submission to your husband, you may lead him to Christ. Now, notice that the way she would lead him to Christ was not by preaching to him. Says, without a word, that is, without preaching to him a message. Well, we know that the Word is important. The Word of God is important. As a matter of fact, it's through the Word that a person is led to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, well, then why don't you preach to him? Well, here Peter has a better way. It is by her conduct as an obedient, loving, devoted wife. She may lead her husband to Christ because the message, the Word, will be lived out in daily life. That is, he will see it in person in her life. Now, there's a poem, I haven't seen it for some time. It's a poem that says, I'd rather see a sermon than to hear it any time. See a sermon, what? At work. So, this is what Peter is saying here. That these husbands may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied with fear. Now, the wife's godly life may convict him of his sin. And so, he may be won without her preaching to him, but here this tells us something of the power of a godly life. Godly life lived out. When the husband would see this godly life, it would be a real challenge to him. And I don't know of anything to humble a man anymore than to see that godly life lived out by the wife. And this godly, submissive wife would display the Word of God in her daily living. Living out the Word. That's a powerful message, isn't it? Very powerful. And we'll notice here that in verse 2 it says, when they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied with fear, that is being afraid. All this fear the Word is using here has to do with respect to authority. Now, in verses 3 and 4 says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing of gold, putting on a fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So, what Peter's saying here, the wife said, don't depend on outward adornment to win your husband. That is, don't depend on just what you wear and all the, well, in fact, this word adornment, the word adorned here in the Greek, I think, is cosmos, from where we get, ladies get the word cosmetics. In other words, don't depend on that clothing and cosmetics as something to win the husband. Not just an outward appearance, but rather, let it be the inward beauty of the heart. In other words, let him see something more than just what's on the outside. Don't think that just fine clothing and fine apparel and cosmetics and all the hairstyles and all the silver and the gold and all of that kind of stuff. Well now, a lot of that's quite popular today, isn't it? What do you think the retail business is all about? Well, it's this matter of fine clothing sometimes can create some problems. Well, you know, for a number of years, I was involved with J.C. Penney Company, and I heard some various expressions from some of the ladies, especially when I was managing the shoe department. One lady, I remember one time, she came in looking for a new style of shoe that we had, and she was questioned. She liked it. She didn't know whether she was. I don't know what my husband will say if I get this. Said, I've got 23 pairs of shoes at home. So she's questioning whether she'd buy another one or not. Well, so there's something more important. Of course, it doesn't mean that just the lady shouldn't dress modestly, warm, and nice. All right. But he said, don't go to the extremes on this. Don't look at that as the important thing. He says, the inward person of the heart. That is what really impresses people. There's something more than just the outward appearance. It's that life, that godly life. And that's what Peter is urging here, that the wives be adorned with. It's the inward beauty of the heart. Now, there's another thing so far as the ladies, so far as apparel today, in this generation, we want to think of something that is modest, because there's a lot of immodest stuff going on today. So the believer should be very careful about adopting what the world has that sometimes appeals to the flesh. And that's, sisters, I would recommend that you dress modestly. Not so dressed that some man may look with wickedness upon your body. That's another thing. I would especially like to suggest, I don't know about you wearing your shorts and so on, but a lot of women do that nowadays, very short shorts. But I would suggest that whenever we have a meeting or like a picnic or something like that, ladies, I would suggest that you not wear shorts. If visitors, especially visitors, come in, they might look with judgment. So I would suggest that modest apparel is important, not only just for the wife, but for so far as husband relationship, but so far as the public testimony. I think that is very, very important. So here in verse 6, Peter gives us an example. Here in verses, well, let's look at verse 5 and 6. It says, for in this manner in former times the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Can you imagine that? The wife calling her husband Lord, or in the same sense that the word would be used as master, whose daughters you are if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. Well, I think Sarah was quite a good example. Now, he turns to the husband. Peter says, husbands, likewise. Here again, he uses this word likewise, or in like manner. Just like he was referring to the wives up here in verse 1. Wives likewise. Likewise what? Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who was submissive to his Father. Husbands, he's saying, you also, you be in subjection to the authority of God the Father. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So, just as Christ was subject to the authority of his Father, so then the husband is to be under the authority of God the Father. And so, he will then, if he's under the authority of God the Father, he'll recognize the truth of his authority and responsibility. And even though he's head of the household and head of the wife, he will not be in the form of a dictator or something like that. But no, he will take the position that God has given him and render to his wife what she deserves and his vital responsibility. And so, notice that he says you're to dwell with them with understanding. That is understanding the position of the wife. And understanding that fully, then you function as you should as a husband. Now, brethren, that gives us quite a responsibility, doesn't it? To carry out God's will. That is to make provision for our wives, to protect them, to love them, and to help them. He says, give them honor as to the weaker vessel. Now, this doesn't mean that the wife is inferior to the husband. That's not what he said. The two have become one flesh. But I heard one brother one time use as an illustration how to illustrate this as the weaker vessel. He illustrated by, he said, you go down to the dime store and you can buy one of these coffee mugs. Big old heavy thing, you know. But he said, and also he says, you've got a china teacup there. And he says, of course, you hold it up, said, see, the light almost shines through it. It's more delicate. And he says it's worth a whole lot more. Very delicate. Well, now that's very true. When Vina and I were coming back from the Philippines, we came back on board ship, and the ship stopped at port in Yokohama. And on the pier where these ocean vessels, passenger vessels stopped, they had a big shopping center. It was quite a popular thing. And so the president lines and all these various passenger ships would stop there and people would do the shopping. And it was tax-free there. And so you could buy a lot of good things there. And so we looked through there and we found a beautiful set of dishes. China. Just imagine, was it 8-piece setting? We got an 8-piece setting for $33. And it was a very fine piece. Well, that, we've enjoyed that through the years, but what was you broke? The plate? Oh yeah. She broke one of the plates and she wanted to, recently, she found out that there's a company that you can get these various odd pieces from. And she wrote to them about it. And they wanted $30-something for that one plate. So $30-something for that one plate. That shows the tremendous value of it, of that vessel. So, we might say that that illustrates here the value of the weaker vessel, the wife, of great value. Now, in verse 8, as we read that portion a minute ago, Here, Peter is, he's been writing about the, of course, the obligation of the husband, and now he's writing to all the brethren. Verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So here is the appeal to the brethren. All these brethren, of course, that include all the families and all the brethren, they're to be of one mind, working together. And this is a picture, of course, of the husband and wife relationship, the family relationship, the unity of the family. Not only just the individual family, but the church as a family. Having love one for another, being of the same mind, the same goal and purpose. Now, in all of this, God is concerned about unity and peace, isn't he? He's the God of peace and the God of unity. And he likes to see that displayed in the church. Members of one body. Now, the various members are various members, aren't they? But, as in the body, all of these members work together for the good of the body, under the direction of the head. And so, this illustrates the members of the body of the church, how that they should be of the same mind and having compassion one for another, loving one another, being tender-hearted, courteous, not returning evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So what a picture Peter is giving us here of these various relationships. Now, is this a real knowledgeable purpose in life? Or do we just drift through life day by day, let everything come and go as it will? Or do we have some purpose in life? Wives, do you have a purpose in mind of being in subjection to the husband in order to honor him and to honor God and to accomplish that great work? And husbands, what about this tremendous responsibility of being the head of the household and under the direction of the Holy Spirit? Here we see God's purpose and plan. Is this, we just let things happen as they will, or do we have a real purpose for making everything better and more pleasing to God? And the same as our relationship with one another, as fellow believers. Do we have a goal in mind? Like, I'd like to be a blessing to my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I would like to encourage. I would like to help in whatever way I can. Is this our goal? Well, as members of the body of Christ, every member is designed for a particular function. Now, in these physical bodies of ours, what happens when some of the members fail to function? They begin to have some defects. Well, some of us know a little bit of the effects of that. How it affects the rest of the body. Well, You know that sometimes that's precisely how what happens in the church, the body of Christ, when there are some members that cease to function. They're not really contributing anything to the good of the body. So here we've got all of this instruction. The Lord has given through the Holy Spirit to the likes of Peter, who has given these clear instructions on these people under all various circumstances, how that they may live to the glory of God. So then, here are some very precious examples for us. So I trust that we'll be considering all these glorious truths with the purpose in mind. I want to please the Lord. I want to be in subjection to Him. He is the ultimate authority. He created the universe and all things therein, and He has placed man here for a purpose. What is His purpose for me? What is His purpose for you? Well, let's see if we can fulfill that. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for Your precious word. And we pray, O Lord, that You will help us to be submissive to Your authority, obeying Your word in all things, in order that we might glorify our blessed God. We thank You for Your grace, Your love, and Your mercies. And we pray that all may be working in our lives to produce that which would bring honor and glory to our God and our Savior. So we thank You for this portion today and ask that You'll help us walk in obedience to all of Your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.